Authority. Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to start Senate State Affairs. Today's Tuesday, April 13, 2021. Record reflect times 3:31 p.m. We're meeting remotely except for myself, committee aide, and a few other people in the room, but the primary committee is meeting from their offices. Yes, we are. Staff on text. We have myself, Chair Schauer, in the room. We've got Vice Chair Senator Reinbold. Should have Senator Costello, who is waiting to join. Can you check on that, Terrence? Has a waiting for some reason. Same for Senator Holland. And we're waiting, and I see Senator Kawasaki. So we're just waiting on two more folks to come up here very briefly. We do have a quorum with three of us, though, on the Teams. Do we have a fall off here? Stand by a moment. I'm only seeing one now, myself and Senator Kawasaki. Senator Reinbold, are you there? I saw you a moment ago. Hey, Senator Holland's here.
Oops, sorry about that. Let me turn my volume up.
I got you loud and clear. Senator Reinbold, you were there. Are you still there or are you gone? Okay. I'm going to ask staff to continue to research for Senator Costello and Reinbold, who I know both are communicating with me but haven't shown up yet. There's Senator Reinbold. I see her. And Terrence, can you please check on Senator Costello, get her into the meeting, and I'll announce when she's here. We're continuing to meet. Hey, I got you. Thank you. We're going to continue to do everything as we've been doing it for weeks, so I won't belabor the point on why we're doing this and operating remotely. I think everybody's getting in the groove on this now. Just please mute yourself while you're on the Teams so it doesn't give us the feedback. We have Terrence from my office here. We've got Carrie Cooper-Ryder and Nate Williams helping us out for LA staff. We have a few other folks in the room based on the bills. Just procedurally, remember, I'll keep the paperwork down here, have you show up after the meeting as we've been doing. No real changes there. And we're going to continue in the same manner, like I said before. We're going to take roll call for who we have available, and we'll just go in a kind of the normal order today. So if you could give me your name, your room number, and the fact you're physically located in the building, starting with the laughing vice chair and her staff, Senator Reinbold. Fun to see when you're there.
Yes, I'm here on room 427. Thank you.
Okay, Senator Holland, where are you at today?
Chair Schauer, I apologize for being a little late. I am in 113. Senator Holland is in 113.
Thank you very much. And we have Senator Costello. Welcome. And hopefully it came. Sorry about that. Probably something on our end. And where are you at, Mia?
I'm in room 119.
Awesome. Thank you much. Senator Kawasaki.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Scott Kawasaki. I am in room 7.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And we're going to continue on and get things done with what we have. Four things on the agenda today. SB 32, Initiative Severability. Senator Rivac, SB 77, Use of Internet for Charitable Gaming by Labor and Commerce, and that's Senator Costello. We've got an introduction of SB 118, Committee on Nullification of Federal Laws, and SB 120, Administration Regulation Review Committee, both of those by Senator Reinbold. Any questions, comments for today before we get started? Did I say 32? I apologize. SB 23, Initiative Severability, just to get it right. They're on the ball today. Okay, seeing and hearing no other comments, we're going to get started. I've asked Senator Rivac to show up early based on the other bills he has coming up, so come on up, gentlemen, to the hot seat. SB 23, Initiative Severability. Once you guys put yourself on the record, we'll see if there's any questions or comments, and then we're going to get into testimony. So starting off, if you just want to give us a high level who you are again and what the bill is, and then we'll get started.
All right. Well, good afternoon, Chair Schauer, members of the State Affairs Committee. For the record, Senator Josh Rivac, District M, South Anchorage. Thank you very much for hearing SB 23. We really appreciate it. What SB 23 does is seeks to restore an important check in the checks and balances the constitutional framers envisioned for the initiative process, a very important process. The intent of the voters at the signature phase should matter. When signing a petition, they're not giving their support to a general concept for legislation, which would be determined ultimately by the courts through severability. And the courts should not be empowered to divine the intent of those who support an initiative to guess what degree of changes would be permissible. The legislature has an obligation and a right by the Constitution to stop an initiative by enacting substantially similar legislation. And if the courts revive initiatives after the legislative review process, they deny the legislature of our right to review the initiative as revised. Mr. Chair, again, thank you for the opportunity to be here to present SB 23, and I would appreciate the committee's support.
Great. Thank you, Senator Reback. Anything to add from staff before I open it up to the committee? Awesome. So we're going to open up this time for the committee. Questions, comments, have some debate. Senator, I'll go with Senator Costello first. There, Senator Kawasaki, her hand is up.
Thank you very much, Senator Schauer and Senator Reback, for introducing this bill. Could you give just a brief explanation of the history of how this has been a problem in the past?
For the record, Dirt Craft staff to Senator Reback. There's been a number of cases where provisions have been declared severable by the Supreme Court. The most recent was the 2018 Salmon Initiative, where there was a number of provisions struck after the legislative review process, and that initiative went on to the voters. So that was the most recent one in memory.
Do you have any others, by chance? One or two others? How often it happens?
Mr. Chair, McAlpine versus University of Alaska was 1988, where the court severed an impermissible part of the bill before the election. I believe that had to do with a spending provision in the initiative that was severed later.
Thank you. Senator Costello, follow up.
No, I was just curious. So in terms of severability, how has the court actually weighed in on the constitutionality of that ability to that's prohibited by statute?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, not that I'm aware of from our research. When they've severed these portions, there's usually been some comments about how it's been helpful to the initiative process, but I can't, from my memory, think of anything that they've commented on directly on severability.
Senator Schauer, just one final comment. What about other states and their initiative processes? I mean, do we see this in other states? And you know, how many states have this measure?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, there's a number of states that have severability. From NCSL's research, I believe there was 20 some states that included severability in their initiative language. What's interesting is a lot of those states have either a direct or an indirect initiative process. Alaska is considered an indirect initiative process, where the legislature has that final review period before it is sent to the voters. And in the states that have a direct initiative process, those are the states where you typically see the severability language. So it's a little unusual to have this check with legislative review and the severability portion that can potentially usurp that legislative process and be determined severable after it's gone through that review.
Thank you very much, Senator Schauer.
Thanks, Senator Costello. Senator Kawasaki, I know you were next, had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we brought forward a memo from Legal Services dealing specifically with the constitutional issues, and I wanted to address that. And I was wondering if all the members had that memo.
I do have it. I believe it's dated March 11, 2021, correct?
That's the one.
I did have that, and I believe other members were distributed, so go ahead.
So, I mean, my basic question is that so Ledge Legal says that this is probably not constitutional, and I just wanted to hear Oaks talk about that issue.
Okay, Senator Kawasaki, we'll start, I guess, with the bill sponsor, see what he's got to say, and we'll debate it from there.
Sure, thank you. Chair Schauer, so there are a number of constitutional provisions at play here, and this is what this bill seeks to solve, is that if we have initiatives that are essentially bait and switch, where we have a situation in which a group or individual could put forth an initiative that they know isn't constitutional, it could be severed, and it would abdicate the responsibility and the authority of the legislature to oversee, to enact similar legislation before this goes to the ballot. That's our constitutional authority as a check to the initiative process. And so that's exactly what we're seeing is when these ballot initiatives are severed by the courts, in cases after the voters, you know, have signed, the petitioners have already signed the language that they agree with, it could be a completely different language in the actual bill that they see on the ballot, or the actual language that they see on the ballot could be completely different from what they signed. And that could happen after the legislature. It's too late for us to have the constitutional authority under Title 11, Section 4, which states that the legislature can enact similar legislation before an initiative goes to the ballot. So that's exactly the problem that we're trying to solve. Again, there's several constitutional provisions at play here.
Just to ask for my own question here, I'm going to assume, but I won't assume. I'll ask the question that you have discussed this with Ledge Legal as well, and what was their response to you with this, as in that might be different from what Senator Kawasaki has in this opinion?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Dirk Kraft, staff to Senator Rivak. We've discussed it, and we've discussed this particular provision, and they didn't have a response immediately, but we're working on getting a question to them where they can draft a formal response, and we'll try to get that out to members as soon as we get it.
Okay. And it's probably different, or would have, I'm guessing you would have brought this up, but I thought last year or the year before, there was another issue that came up, something with one of the initiatives that has run through the system over the last 2 year or so. Wasn't there another one that either came up and was shot down or stopped or by the courts or something? I thought there was another similar issue to this recently, inside of even since 2018. Maybe another senator member. I thought there was one. Could be wrong. Don't hold me to that.
Mr. Chair, yeah, not to my memory. I'm blanking.
Senator Kawasaki, follow up, or other committee members? Anybody has a hand up?
No, I don't have another question for follow-up, but I know this will go on to the Judiciary Committee, so that's, I'm not going to have a problem moving the bill to the Judiciary Committee so they can review the constitutional issues.
It sounds like we'll have maybe an answer from Ledge Legal as well, because I would certainly like to do this anytime we do one that has a constitutional, and I get it, it's an opinion, but, you know, we have a different opinions, and I would like to, you know, drill down a little further, and I'm on that committee, so we'll definitely be taking a harder look at whatever you get back from them, because I'd like to see the debate between them. So, okay, because sometimes we do things, and I don't want to waste too much time if we think the courts are just going to say, bzz, that makes it hard. Okay, other committee members, questions, comments? Senator Costello, you do have your hand up still, but was that on purpose?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Senator Schauer. I just think that this legislation is important because I think what the result is going to be is that when there is a citizens initiative, there's going to be more time and care put into the language, knowing that when you go collect the signatures, that it actually matters. The initiative process is one where people spend, perhaps they're going to REI or something to, you know, get something to go camping, and they're faced with a person who's paid, who's going to try to get your signature on something. And I do think that the language matters. I mean, in the legislative process, we have a very lengthy, involved process with committees. There's tremendous public comment. In the initiative process, I think we have a duty to be truthful and honest with Alaskans, no matter who it is putting, you know, that initiative before them. And so I believe that in this case with the initiative, it really matters. And Senator Rivak, you know, the sponsor's comment about changing in the middle of the stream, you know, you've signed something to say that you're backing a particular issue, and then all of a sudden you find that it's changed, and you then are not asked if you still agree with it. I think it's a very important legislation, and I am familiar with the memo. Thank you, Senator Schauer, for distributing it. you know, the legislative legal, they often write opinions. I think that the courts themselves are the final arbiter when it comes to whether or not something's unconstitutional. And so I appreciate this legislation, and I want to thank the sponsor for bringing it back forward before the legislature.
Thanks, Senator Costello. I'll add to that. I do. I think it's disingenuous if somebody does do an initiative, obviously, and they change it, you know, then that's not what people, you know, intended to sign. So that's definitely something we should be guarded against. So there's no doubt about that. Concur. My interest is piqued on the legal opinion because I do like to drill those down. But like Senator Kawasaki said, it's going to the next committee where we'll have a chance to do that, and that's appropriate in judiciary. So I'm fine moving it as well so we can have the debate there. And I'll be curious to see what you get back and have that probably more intense debate over any potential constitutional issues. Okay, that being said, other comments or questions from committee members? All right, we're going to go ahead real quickly and do public testimony so we can get that done for the bill. So stand by. Opening up public testimony. And it's almost a joke to say, is anybody in the room? Because not anybody in the room anymore. It looks like we have three online to testify. So we're going to go ahead and get that started, and I'll do the timer myself. We're going to start with Katie Capazzi, President and CEO of Alaska Chamber. Katie, can you hear us? You've got 2 minutes, if you could limit to that, please, for us. And when you're ready, you have the floor, your name, affiliation, and 2 minutes testimony. Please begin.
Chairman Schauer, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Katie Capozzi, and I serve as the president and CEO of the Alaska Chamber. The Alaska Chamber was founded in 1953, and our mission is to advocate for a healthy business environment in Alaska. The Chamber has more than 700 members and represents businesses of all sizes and industries from across the state. The Chamber believes that Senate Bill 23 is required to maintain the integrity of the signature gathering process for a ballot measure. Once a voter signs their name to specific ballot measure language, their support should be applied only to the exact language to which they lent their name. If any court or courts decides to alter or remove language from the initiative, it cannot be assumed that voter support remains. Should a court sever language from a proposed ballot measure, it should be mandatory that initiative proponents go back and ask voters to support the revised language that would appear on the ballot, or alternatively, provide the legislature the opportunity to pass similar legislation. The Chamber membership voted just last year in favor of a policy position that supports ballot measure reform. The full position statement reads, initiative petitions often ask voters to make simple yes or no decisions about complex issues without subjecting them to detailed expert analysis or the opportunity to participate through a public process. Changes in the initiative process should produce more transparency and better public policy in a comprehensive and balanced manner, equally benefiting both voters and the legislative process. As such, we support SB 23 and the bill sponsor's effort to correct a deficiency that has been overlooked in the ballot initiative process. We also believe SB 23 will result in fewer protracted legal battles once the ballot measure proponents understand that should any section of their initiative not pass constitutional muster, they would be required to revert to the signature gathering stage of the process. This should result in more carefully crafted ballot measures being proposed at the outset, which means a smoother, more predictable, and transparent process for all parties, whether they support or oppose the ballot measure in question. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Katie, and for nailing 2 minutes. I appreciate you taking the time to call in this afternoon. We're going to go next to Bethany Markham from the AK Policy Forum in Anchorage. Bethany, you know the drill. When you're ready, go ahead and put yourself on the record who you represent.
Hey, there's a question from Senator Kawasaki.
Oh, dear, I apologize. I did not see that. Doing the thank you, Senator Holland, for that. Anybody's welcome to step up. I didn't see that in the text stream. But anyways, Senator Kawasaki, go ahead.
So I have a question for the state chamber's person, Katie. So would you –
let me make sure
we have a recent
– 1 second.
A recent – can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, Scott, but it looks like she may have dropped off.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I apologize. I should have asked her that. I didn't think about questions. Do you have a number that we can try to call back? That
she called? It's fine. I'll call her.
Okay.
I'll call her at
home. Sorry about that, Senator Kawasaki. That's my bad. I'll be on guard for that next time. Can you state the question, though, just so that we all hear it? Because it might be something we're all interested in.
My question was whether the chamber would be willing to put up a constitutional amendment dealing specifically with Article 11 and whether that was something that they would be yeah, willing to do Article 11, Section 7, dealing with this issue. So that was my only question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kerman.
Appreciate it. Sorry about that. And like I said before, we just with the protocol, if I'm not seeing it or I'm doing multiple things here, just go off of mute and say, hey, and I'll get you. So thanks for that. Bethany, I apologize. We're back on track with you. So you know the drill. Go ahead and put yourself on the record. And when you're ready, please begin.
Thank you. This is Bethany Markham with Alaska Policy Forum. Chairman Schauer, Vice Chair Reinbold, and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. Alaska is very fortunate to have a constitutionally enshrined ballot initiative process. Not all states trust their citizens to participate directly in the legislative process. And while there are certainly pros and cons, most Alaskans would agree that this is a valuable right. In order for the ballot initiative process to continue to have value for future generations of Alaskans, it's imperative that the integrity of the process is ensured. Currently, there's a loophole created by past state Supreme Court decisions, which allows our courts to tamper with initiative language. While the intention may be good, for example, to remove unconstitutional provisions, the end result can be that the words which voters see on their ballots may, in fact, be different than the language which was displayed to them and other voters who earlier signed the petition booklets. Alaska experienced this precise scenario in 2018, as Mr. Kraft mentioned earlier. It's truly an injustice to Alaskan voters when the very words they approve for the ballot are changed by unelected judges. A further effect of this loophole is that the legislature, you yourselves, can be stripped of your right to act as a counterbalance in the ballot initiative process. Our Constitution ensures that the legislature has the right to enact legislation that is nearly the same as the proposed initiative, thus removing those initiatives from the ballot. But when initiative language is stricken or changed by the court, the legislature effectively loses its ability to provide oversight on the process. As it stands now, initiatives can be presented to voters in the ballot box with language that is different than that which they supported with their own signatures and different than the version reviewed by the legislature. It would be good policy for this technicality to be addressed, and I urge the committee to consider how Senate Bill 23 would rectify this situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Bethany, for calling in today. I'm just going to pause for a moment to make sure I don't have questions this time for anybody, and not hearing any, we're going to move on to Marliana Hall from the Resource Development Council. When you are ready, Marliana, go ahead and put yourself on the record who you represent and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Chair Schauer and members of the committee. My name is Marliana Hall, and I am the Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Alaska, commonly referred to as RDC. RDC has reviewed Senate Bill 23 and have called in today to request the members of Senate State Affairs to pass this bill out of the committee. After hearing today's discussion, though, it sounds like that may happen, so thank you in advance. RDC is on the record with a letter of support previously submitted, but since I'm on the line, I'd like to briefly share additional points in support of why we need Senate Bill 23. As you're aware, Alaska voters have the ability to participate in the legislative process by either passing law or overturning law through the ballot measure process. Voters can support initiatives by writing them, signing on to them, and voting for what is proposed. Through these three actions, the language should remain unchanged from what is signed in support of. Senate Bill 23 would remove the court's ability to sever language, leaving that language untouched. As the law is currently written, rather than ensuring the ballot initiative language passes legal and constitutional muster before being presented to voters, RDC is concerned that groups will rely on Alaska's courts for legal editing services. Senate Bill 23 will send a message to proponents that the language of an initiative must be carefully drafted to ensure it is constitutional before it goes out to the Alaskan voters. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments in support of Senate Bill 23 today.
Thank you, Marliana, for calling in today with your testimony. Any questions from committee members? Just to make sure, since we had three representing organizations. Okay, seeing and hearing none. Nobody else has popped up online, so we're going to go ahead and close public testimony. At this time, it's my intent to move this bill out of committee on to judiciary, as we discussed before. Senator Reinbold, do you have a motion for the committee?
There we go.
There you are. Gotcha.
It took forever to get it off mute, like 10 times. I apologize. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate State Affairs Committee, Senate Bill 23, Work Order 32, LS0209A, as amended, accompanied with the associated fiscal notes, be moved out of State Affairs Committee.
Any objections? Yes, ma'am. I think she said as amended. It wasn't amended. I'm sorry. That's our fault. So there was no amendments to it. But that's okay. Is that good enough if I say that on the record? Okay. Thank you. And that's our fault, Senator Ramble, not yours. Seeing and hearing no objections, the bill is moved out of committee, and we will sign the paperwork after we're done. Thank you, Senator Rebeck. You guys are cleared off the hot seat. Appreciate you taking the time to come in to get this on to the next one, and I say we'll see you in judiciary. What's that? Well, the CS is amended, so it would be as amended, correct, or just the CS? On the next bill.
Oh, on the next bill?
Yes. Because we did amend it with a CS. It was, or it was amended.
I don't have
that. Okay.
If that's
sounds good. We'll stick with that. Okay. We're going to continue moving on to Senate Bill 77, Use of Internet for Charitable Gaming, from Labor and Commerce with Senator Costello. Any questions before we move on to the bill itself? Okay, then we're going to have Senator Costello, if you'd like to give us a brief overview on what we're talking about here like we do, just to refresh everybody's memory, and then we will open up for any comments before we go to public testimony.
Thank you very much, Senator Schauer and members of the committee. This is one of a suite of bills that was introduced by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee following the governor's introduction of a disaster declaration that would extend until the fall. The intent of the committee was to look at whether or not we needed to make a few of our laws COVID aware. I did not feel that some of these issues rose to the level of needing a disaster declaration in order to have the things that we actually allow in some of these bills. And my aide, Melody Wilterdink, is online and can just briefly go over what's in the bill.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Melody Wilterdink. For the record, I work for Senator Costello. And what this bill will do is establish standards for online ticket sales to ensure compliance with charitable gaming laws, including age and location verification and data security standards. And what those online ticket sales will be are for raffles, lotteries, dog mushers contests, derbies, or certain types of classics. And it includes being able to draw winning tickets online. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we're at the point where I'd like to see if we have any questions from committee members or comments on Senate Bill 77 before we go to public testimony. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask the sponsor? Okay, seeing and hearing none at this time, then we're going to move on to public testimony. Public testimony is open on Senate Bill 77. Nobody in the room. I see nobody online except one which is there for questions only, correct? Okay, and I know that was for questions from previously coordinated. All right, seeing and hearing no public testimony, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony on Senate Bill 77. All right, it is my intent to move this bill out today. We've had the debate over it, so just one last chance with the sponsor since she's on the committee. Any final comments, questions from committee members? Senator Kawasaki, please go ahead.
Yeah, just a brief comment. I wanted to thank Senator Costello for bringing this forward. This has been a huge benefit for folks during this COVID-19 issue. And so while folks can't go door-to-door or do those types of things, this is going to be real helpful. So I appreciate the Senator for bringing this forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Kawasaki. And I'm going to add to that, talking to a few groups as well, and not only is it COVID-related, but, you know, you kind of move into the 21st century where people are doing much more online, and we have a very broad state that can be hard to reach people. Having the option to do this smartly, efficiently, you know, but also safely in the sense of verifying ages and other qualifications, I think this will help many of our organizations raise more funds for a lot of the good work they do that doesn't restrict them in some way. So I actually think this is a positive move anyways. As long as we do it correctly, and I know that's the intent of the sponsor. So thanks for that, Senator Kawasaki. I couldn't agree more. I think it's even a bigger issue. Senator Costello, final comments for the committee before we make a motion to move it?
I just want to thank the committee for looking at this bill and also for, you know, moving it out, hopefully.
Thanks, Senator Costello. And that being said, Senator Reinbold, one comment, just if you could scratch the as amended again. I don't know how we let that slip in today twice, but if you could – do you have a motion for moving Senate Bill 77?
Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate State Affairs Committee Senate Bill 77, Work Order 32-LS0550-B, accompanied with associated fiscal notes, be moved out of Senate State Affairs Committee.
Are there any objections? Okay, seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 77 is moved out of committee. We will have you come all down and sign the paperwork at the end of this. Moving on to the next agenda item, we have several of our committee members stay in the hot seat. We're on to Senate Bill 118, Committee on Nullification of Federal Laws, sponsored by Senator Reinbold. And Senator Reinbold, when you're ready, if you could go ahead and put yourself on the record, either you or your committee, and give us the intro of your Senate bill, please.
Thank you, Chairman Schauer, and I thank you for the privilege and honor to be carrying a bill that I think is very, very important. Before I get the sponsor statement on record, I have some information prepared by the North American Law Center that I need to get on record just as a basis of why I'm doing what I'm doing. So with your permission to read.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the United States Constitution in the proper context. The United States was created for freedom, liberty, and self-governance. Very few Americans know the proper understanding of the United States Constitution, including many constitutionalists. Before the American people can protect and defend the Constitution of the Republican form of government which it creates, we must understand the nature of the document itself. So first of all, the legal form of the Constitution, the United States Constitution legal form is a special type of a contract, a compact. And a contract is defined as written, a spoken or written agreement, especially with one concerning employment, sales, tenacity, that is intended to be enforced by law. And every government official is an employee of the people. There's two primary purposes of the Constitution. The first purpose of the United States Constitution is in the preamble. In order to form a more perfect union between member states, in other words, to act together in concert with one another for a stated purpose, to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, and to provide for the common defense, and to promote the general welfare, and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. So the clear intent of the formation is the union of states. The second purpose is to form a common system of self-governance, designed to serve the member states and the people respectively. We do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. The Constitution formed a federation, a union of states, and a system of self-governance intended to perform certain specific and limited duties for the general welfare of all members of the union and the people respectively. The United States federal government that created and adopted the United States Constitution in 1787 was designed to serve these two distinct purposes in accordance with necessary provisions with the compact, which is defined the authorized duties of the limited power and form in which the federal government must serve the stated intent of the compact between the states. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That is from, obviously, the Declaration of Independence. So what's going on around the nation? There are a lot of concerns about federal overreach and concerns of violating people's rights and the Bill of Rights. So what this bill is intended to address is unlawful and unconstitutional acts. I'm going to read a little bit more from this paper with your permission, Senator Schauer.
Go ahead.
So when any branch of government exists as a result under the legal authority of either the U.S. or the state constitution, which are compacts, fails to refuse to perform in accordance with or acts in a manner beyond the scope of its authority, or the destruction of the compact, that act or those acts are a breach of this compact. And when the article, for example, the legislative branch or Article 2, the executive branch, acts in a manner that results in the breach of the compact by advancing laws beyond its constitutional scope and authority, or in a manner that is in direct violation with the constitutional protections for the states or for the people, or in a manner repugnant to the states or the people respectively, the constitutional text and intent, the parties of the compact are no longer obligated to uphold their contractual obligations under the compact. By acting in a manner which results to the breach of the compact, the states, the people, the branches of the government violate the compact and stepped away from the compact, leaving all members of the compact free to take means necessary to resolve the breach. The Declaration of Independence refers to the rights of the people and their respective states to remedy the breach by either altering or abolishing forms of government and institute a new government, laying foundations such as principles, organizing powers such a form as they shall see most likely to affect their safety and happiness. That is referenced in the Declaration of Independence. So basically, what we want to do with this bill, the sponsor statement for Senate Bill 18, is the purpose of SB 18 is to formally invalidate any federal law that is the state views as unconstitutional. Thomas Jefferson wrote, nullification is the rightful remedy. In the draft of the Kentucky Resolution of 1798, there are more than a dozen other states, Alabama, Arkansas, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Wyoming, New Hampshire, North Dakota, et cetera, that created issues in regards to nullification. SB 18 creates a committee to review federal law and exercise state sovereignty. The committee is comprised of the president, of the Senate, six members, and not more than four from one political party, and in the House of Representatives appointed by the Speaker, as well as six members, not more than four from each political party, to ensure that the minority members are represented in that. So I'm going to stop there for a minute and see if you guys have any high-level questions.
Committee members, questions at this time? Okay. Continue. Doesn't look like there's any.
So just want to point out that we know any federal law or mandate that is unconstitutional on its face has no source or function by law. So the people understand that it's by the government or by the people for the people, the government is. And so I do want to get this on record that you can nullify a law. You can't nullify a law that is not a law, and you can't nullify a law that stands constitutional. So that's important to get on record. However, you can ignore state or federal law that has no constitutional standing. So therefore, you don't nullify, you simply don't comply. So that is completely separate in regards to what this is more of a formal committee, the legislative branch that is created as stated for any more severe issues, such as potentially a gun confiscation or something or infringing upon gun rights. And that's why this is more of a formal committee that is designed in the legislature for very serious issues. And I'm happy to go through the sectional when you are ready.
Okay. I don't see any hands up for questions at the moment, so if you're ready, let's get the sectional analysis done.
Okay, so this is an act establishing a committee on nullification of federal laws and providing a directive to the lieutenant governor. Section 1 established a committee on nullification of federal laws as a permanent interim committee for the legislative purposes of 1, the president of the Senate or the president's designee, 6 members in the Senate appointed by the Senate with no more than 4 members of the same political party, the Speaker of the House and of the Representatives or the Speaker's designee, and 6 members of the House appointed by the Speaker, not more than 4 members being of the same political party. Section 2 adds a new section, a directive to the Lieutenant Governor, that will forward a copy of the enrolled version of the bill to the President of the United States, the President of the United States Senate, and the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, and each member of Alaska's congressional delegation. Fourth bill.
Thank you. Comments, questions from committee members? Okay, seeing and hearing none. Basically a wrap-up for today, Senator Rambo, because we're going to go to public testimony. We have some folks that have called in online. Anything you'd like to make final comments on?
Not at this time.
Thank you. So we're going to open up public testimony at this time on Senate Bill. And just for the record, Nancy, I know a couple times she said 18. Just speaking the way it came across, it might have been 118, but the bill's 118, just to be crystal clear. Okay, thanks. Opening up public testimony. Since we do have somebody that showed up in the room, would you like to testify on Senate Bill 118? Just making sure. Okay, you showed up. So seeing none there, we do have two online. We start with Stuart Thompson from Wasilla. Stuart, if you can hear us, we're testifying Senate Bill 118. Put yourself on the record with your name, who you're affiliated with, and I'd ask you to try to keep it to about 2 minutes. When you're ready, sir, you have the floor.
To the committee via the chair, thank you for permitting testimony on SB 118. I am Stuart Thompson, a District 10 citizen, speaking for myself. Start of my prepared 310-word testimony. Thank you, Senator Reinbold, for your bill introduction. This bill is a good idea, being constitutionally justified and pursuant to philosophy behind our design of government, i.e., theory of separation of powers and theory of checks and balances. See U.S. Constitution Amendments 9 and 10. What our founders understood and thusly planned for is that abuse of power and government corruption has the potential to advance and ebb through time. There's also an approved amendment to the Alaska Constitution that empowers the legislature or the Alaska people to check federal statutes infringing on certain Alaskan interests. This is Article 12, Section 14. This constitutional provision should be studied and comprehended for use by members of the committee being formed by this bill. I recommend certain modifications to this bill to defend it against inappropriate attacks or uncontrolled judicial interpretation. One, line 14 and line 18 should have added the phrase under the authority of U.S. Constitution Amendment 10 to remove any ambiguity of authority. Two, language consistency throughout the bill is a vital safeguard against hair splitting by lawyers seeking to undermine its scope and validity. Appropriate and consistent reiteration of the phrase federal statute, regulation, or executive order is particularly important. I recommend preemptive legal and lawsuit strategies be formulated by the executive branch in support of application of the proposed statute against inevitable federal challenge. Consider the following. At this time in American history, abuse of federal executive power is appearing through the excessive use of executive orders and federal agency regulations in substitution for Congress exercising constitutionally restrained legislative power. This is one answer to the assertion of federal power supremacy being justified by long-time emergencies or the sanctimonious assertion of incompetence of Americans. I urge fast passage of this bill since justifications for its use is exploding. Thank you. I'm emailing the committee the text of this testimony for the legislators' use.
Thank you, Stuart. I appreciate you taking the time to call in, and I love when citizens come forward with not just complaints but solutions and ways to make things better. So thank you. We're going to move on to Mike Coons from Palmer. Mike, you are very familiar with the drill. You know what it is. So when you're ready, sir, you have the floor.
Thank you, Senator Schauer and the State Affairs Committee. My name is Mike Coons, and I'm speaking for myself. I read SB 118, and I fully support this bill. We have a Congress and a White House that are on full attack. They are full on attacking our constitutional rights on a daily basis. We thankfully are a Second Amendment sanctuary state, thanks to previous legislatures. I was helped by Senator Hughes, then Representative Hughes, and then Senator Stoltz in passing the Counterman Amendment to the Constitution that would do the same. However, that has a long way to go through the Article 5 process. Alaska, along with other conservative Constitution-loving states, must join in to tell the Socialist Congress and now the White House that fully supports violating the Constitution on a daily basis with executive orders and actions a resounding no. For us to take our nation back, we must invoke the 9th and 10th Amendments like they never have been, and this bill does that. The Constitution was never designed to be a central government, but rather the states having the powers. Thus, we the states have and must use our right to nullify harmful federal laws. Nullification is even at the court level and the individual level as well, so nullification is a solid existing law for both individuals and the states. Will this mean once this is passed that Congress and the White House will withhold federal funding every chance they get? Sure, I would expect nothing less. However, we as Alaskans and Americans must be prepared to fight back with all we can and be prepared for that kind of childish action. This is much needed, and I'm hoping that many other states will follow in Alaska's footsteps. And I'll take any questions. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Coons. Okay, any questions, comments from committee members? I have no further folks online to testify. Oh, okay. I don't see him yet. We'll give it a moment. Sounds like we might have one more testifier. I'll see if a refresh works. It may look like I'm frozen on the screen. I am not. We're waiting for a... There we go. Got Chris Eichenlaub from Anchorage. Chris, welcome to Senate State Affairs. I know you have testified before. You know the drill, but as a reminder, start off with your name, who you represent, and when you're ready, sir, you have the floor for 2 minutes, please.
Yeah, this is Chris Eichenlaub calling from District D7. I'm from Wasilla. Okay. Yeah, I just want to call in support of this SB 118. It's a great idea. Thanks for putting it through. And that's all I got. I'm going to make it pretty easy.
All right, Chris. Thank you for calling in. And you get the award for the most concise testimony today. So I appreciate you calling in and taking the time. And just to verify, nobody else, right? This time? Oh, now enough. Okay. They're trickling in for public testimony today, one at a time. I'll give it a moment. I will make a comment while I'm waiting because I do think this is important, and that is I'm fascinated by the concept of this, and I think it has not mattered whether it was a Republican or Democrat in office. I've seen a consistent march towards federal supremacy, and I am concerned as well. And when you look at New York to Florida to Texas to California, Washington, Hawaii, Alaska, one size approach does not work because we are different states with different cultures across this vast land. And so it is an issue that I've seen pop up in many things, and states and people should have the right to move to those places and enact laws that work for them, back to local control. So we do have our next testifier in line. It's Christine Hutchison. So Christine, I believe you have testified before. If you can start off with your name, who you represent, and then 2 minutes testimony. You have the floor.
Hi, thank you for taking my testimony. This is Christine Hutchison. I live on the Kenai Peninsula, and I am a constituent of the President, Senate President Peter Machicki. I am very much in favor of this legislation. I had been looking for it earlier, and it's a little late arriving, but I'm very much in favor of state sovereign rights, and the federal government is overrunning that. And if they are not willing to back off, then it is the obligation of each one of these states to hold them accountable for infringing on our rights. And I'm very, very glad to see this coming up, and I very much hope that all my senators will support it, and you'll be seeing POMs from me, so please read them because I don't take time for emails. Thank you very much, and it's a due pass for me.
Thank you, Christine, for taking the time to call in today. Now I'm going to ask as a joke, do we have anybody else popped up? Okay, it looks like nobody else made it on today, so we're going to close public testimony. The verbal side, however, we will continue to take testimony for if you want to send it to those that did not have a chance to send it, State Affairs, SSTA, that's Sierra Tango Alpha, at akleg.gov, and we will make sure that gets entered into the public record. So at this time, with public testimony closed on the verbal side, we're going to accept amendments on SB 118 until 5 p.m. on the 19th of April. And in the meantime, we're going to set the bill aside and move on to the next one, which is going to be Senate Bill 120, keeping Admin Regulation Review Committee, and or I should say keeping Senator Reinbold in the hot seat. Senator Reinbold, please put yourself back in the record to sponsor the bill and run us through it, and we'll do the exact same thing we just did when you are ready.
Hey, Senator Reinbold, Vice Chair of State Affairs, and it's my honor to
turn your TV off.
Senate Bill 120, which is Admin Reg Review Committee.
So, 1 second, Senator Reinbold. Senator Kawasaki, it kind of got cut out. You made a comment. What was that?
No, I think her TV's on, so there's a reverb from the TV.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think it's good now.
Okay, copy that. Just making sure. It sounds like there was some background noise, Senator Reinbold. It sounds like it's good now. I can't hear it. So, okay, please continue.
Okay, so as you all know, I used to be the chair of Administrative Reg Review Committee the first 2 years. I was a legislator, and I thought it was such a great committee. I was extremely active. They said I had more meetings than any other. I ended up doing an admin reg review bill that got passed almost unanimously in the House and the Senate, and it was very, very exciting in order to have that happen. Unfortunately, the committee then several years later, I believe it was 4 years later, ended up getting undone, and I never supported that. And so this basically, with the governor basically suspending about 14 pages of regs and statutes, I thought it was, I have them right here, a big page of statutes and regulations. I thought at minimum, even during a disaster, we should be able to review all those statutes and regulations as a legislative branch before the Administrative Regulatory Review Committee. But just to describe a quick sponsor statement, separation of powers, checks and balances by the legislative branch are a critical part of the United States system of government. Constitutionally, the legislature is the policy-making branch of the government. The executive branch is to execute, not to set policy. The Admin Reg Review Committee needs to be reestablished to ensure regulations meet the intent of the laws that are enacted. The Administrative Reg Review Committee would investigate complaints regarding regulations that standing committees have identified concerns with. In addition, Administrative Reg Review Committee would examine proposed regulations for consistency with proper legislative intent. Checks and balances are part of the United States form of government, and each branch exercises certain powers that can be checked by the other two branches. The Administrative Reg Review Committee provides oversight to ensure that regulations promulgated by the administration of the executive branch meet legislative intent. The bill gives the opportunity for the administration to review concerns found by the Admin Reg Review Committee and revise the regulations to meet legislative intent. The Admin Reg Review will evaluate legality and constitutionality of proposed regulations, whether the state agency has the statutory authority to adopt the proposed regulations and to implement, interpret, and make specific or otherwise carry out statute, whether the proposed regulation is consistent with applicable statutes.
Okay, questions for the sponsor on the sponsor statement from any committee members or comments or questions? Okay, Senator Rambold, I assume that either you or your staff is going to run us through a sectional analysis at this time.
I will. It's long, so you guys just bear with me. I'm going to go through it as quick as I can. This is the first one I've done. I did not know Ledge Legal did not do the sectional analysis anymore, but they did verify that they said they did not recommend any substantive changes. So we just got that, and I believe they are online as well if anybody has any questions.
We do. Just so you know, we do have Megan Wallace is standing by for questions if they come up.
Excellent. So with that, everybody, hold on. I'm going to go through this quickly. Section 1, it does statute references to AS 44.62010, 4462.325 through 325. It basically is regarding the chapter on the Administrative Procedure Act, 4462010, that is an application of the State Organization Act of 1959. Section 2 just says a board shall submit a regulation to the Admin Reg Review Committee within 45 days of adoption. Section 3, a standing committee of the legislature can review a regulation, amend a regulation, or a repeal of a regulation before the date of the regulation is scheduled by the department or agency to be adopted, amended, or repealed. So this, again, it asserts more power of the legislature over the executive branch, which was my promise this session. Section 4 is a new section. It states a standing committee can review a regulation to determine whether it implements legislative intent, and if a standing committee determines why the legislature is in session or during their interim and has found that the regulation does not implement legislative intent, the standing committee submits the findings to the Admin Reg Review Committee. Section 5 is an amended. It basically says if the deadline is not met, the agency that is changing the regulation must report to the Admin Reg Review the new deadline and the reason it was unable to meet the deadline set in the fiscal note of this bill. Section 6 is bills introduced by the Admin Reg Review Bill shall be delivered with a letter of explanation to the Rules Committee by request of the Admin Reg Review Committee. Section 7 is a new section. It references 2420.106, the review of proposed regulations. It outlines the responsibilities. It's a really big section in the bill. It outlines the responsibilities of the committee. And it states that LAA may, the Legislative Affairs Agency, may review a proposed regulation that is subject to AS 4462010 through 300, the Administrative Procedure Act. The review must be done with an attorney in that agency. I'm just going to side note here real quick. When I was at, with Admin Reg Review, I really enjoyed working with the attorney over there at Ledge Affairs. They provided tremendous help for oversight of regulation, and I actually really miss that. Because we get a lot of regulations packets sits in our email, and I really think that this is a lawyer that we need over there. Moving back to Section 7 again, proposed regulations that would implement new legislation. Number 2, if proposed regulations requested to be reviewed by standing committee submitted to Admin Reg Review or Legislative Council as implicating a majority of policy development. This describes the procedure of how it will take place, including evaluating the legality and constitutionality of the regulation, whether the state agency has the statutory authority to adopt the proposed regulations, to implement them, interpret, or otherwise carry out a statute. This gives the parameters for the Admin Reg Review Committee an exemption. This does exempt the Board of Fish and the Board of Game for proposed regulations. Section 8 is a new section. It defines the membership as stated 3 from the House and the Senate. And it has to include the major political parties to define the terms of membership, and which must be established within 15 days after organization of the legislature. And Admin Reg Review may need to meet during the interim to address concerns with regulations. LAA will provide professional and clerical assistance, and the powers of Admin Reg Review Committee are defined in this section. Section 9 references corporations. They are exempt from 44.62, which is the Administrative Protection Act, Procedure Act. However, a corporation shall make available within 45 days after adoption of a regulation of the section to the chair, shall submit the regulation adopted by the chair of Admin Reg Review under AS 2420465 through 495. Section 10 is the administration procedure. This defines administration procedures AS 30.17.120 regarding the adoption of regulations. Sections 11, 12, and 13 are conforming language. Section 14 discusses the right to inspect public records with the exception including medical, public health records, and records that are confidential under federal law or regulation. And it references 20 U.S. Code 1232G, law enforcement and any records that would endanger the life or physical safety of an individual. It adds on page 10, line 15, the written notification regarding a proposed regulation under AS 2420.160 to the Department of Law, an affected state agency, the communications between LAA and the Department of Law, and affected state agencies under AS 2420.106. Section 15 adds a reference, just a statute reference. Section 16 adds a statute reference as well, 4462020, and this gives authority to adopt, administer, or enforce a regulation. Each regulation adopted must be within the scope and authority of the statute. Section 17 under 17 AS 4462040C exempts the RCA, the Board of Fish, the Board of Game, AOGCC, the Office of Victims' Rights, and the Ombudsman's Office. The other agencies shall submit regulations to the Governor's Office. As you know, the section describes the procedure. In Section 11, page 26, it gives the Governor the ability to return regulations and orders of repeal of the adopting agency before they are submitted to the Lieutenant Governor for filing within 30 days. If they are consistent with the faithful execution of the laws or allow the adopting agency to address any issues raised by the Admin Reg Review Committee. Section 18 adds new language on page 12, line 27, and the agencies can electronically furnish the proposed regulation amendment or order repeal as required by AS 2420.106C. Section 19 adds new language on page 13, line 8, and adds Administrative Reg Review to the distribution list. Section 20 adds a statute reference that is listed. Section 21, again, adds the same reference, AS 4462020 through 325. Section 22 is a new section regarding AS4462.325, submittal for legislative review, and it describes how regulation is submitted to the committee. Direct the Lieutenant Governor's office how to submit the regulations and to the Admin Reg Review Committee with the fiscal notes. And within 10 days, the Admin Reg Review may submit comments to the Governor regarding these regulations. Section 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27, as statute AS4462.010-325. Section 28 inserts references AS4462.040-325, and it adds the 45-day after the adoption of a regulation after the section. The chair has the authority to submit the regulation adopted by the chair of ARRC under AS2420465-495. Section 29 is a new section. The applicability that this act applies to the adoption, amendment, or repeal of regulation that is proposed after the effective date of this bill.
I'm sure there are no questions. So committee members have questions. I'm just a little just joking there. It's a long sectional, of course. So, Senator, committee members here, you have any questions, comments? That's a lot to digest there in a short time. Okay. Seeing and hearing none. We did have notice out for this since last week, so we're going to go ahead and just open for public testimony on Senate Bill 120. Nobody is in the room. I do not see anybody online, correct? So we're going to close verbal public testimony. However, you can continue, as I mentioned, for Senate Bill 118 to submit written testimony for those that were not able to call online. Again, it's SSTA Sierra Sierra Tango Alpha at aklg.gov, and we will make sure that gets entered into the public record. So for this time, we're going to accept amendments for SB 120 until 5 p.m. again on April 19th, 2021. Our next meeting is going to be this Thursday, April 15th at 3:30 p.m. We're going to be hearing governor's appointees, the boards and commissions, DPS commissioner appointee James Cockrell, and we're going to introduce finally the CS to SB 39. We have, before we go to that point, though, with Senator Reinbold's bill on 120, just to make sure now that you've had a minute or two to digest that, any questions or comments from committee members before we set the bill aside? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, we've made major changes, as I said, we would on Senate Bill 39, so expect a very detailed brief on that this coming Thursday for State Affairs. And we have a significant amount of changes that will hopefully make the bill very positive and will do things that will dispel some of the myths. We're still working on it, just so that you know, we've turned it in for a second revision. That's why we're another week and a half late on it to try to get some things right. Still working on them. And we're going to have some pretty exciting things, I think, coming out that people will like once we get to that point. But that's just a teaser. I'm not going to go ahead and talk about it yet. We'll get to that on Thursday. And we'll have a full-up brief for that and take the committee through all of those things and have the discussion. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and end the meeting. Committee members, if you could please start making your way to the Butcherovich room once I go ahead and gavel out. Seeing no further business before the committee, we're going to gavel out and adjourn today at 4:33 p.m. Have a good evening.